finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers. With Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
The suitcase murder trial. That's probably what you know it as. Sarah Boone is her name. She's the woman who put her boyfriend in that suitcase, zipped it up, and then videotaped taunting him and making fun of him as he begged for his life. Sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? Is it, though, when you understand more of the case and you learn more about the boyfriend, George Torres, who seemed pretty abusive, and she seemed to be kind of taking a lot of it. Was this evil? Was this a horrible person just trying to kill someone that she hated? Or is this someone who, if I let this man out, he's probably going to kill me? Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. It's a weird case. Sarah Boone, clearly someone who's not the healthiest in the mind, doesn't make the greatest of choices, just regular observations that I can make based on what we've seen about her so far. Certainly doesn't make her anyone who should be the recipient of any sort of violent abuse. And if that did occur, it's not good. We now have video that we've seen of George, the boyfriend, before he was dead, smashing her TV with a baseball bat and swearing at her and yelling. To me, it's like anybody who's walking into someone's home and smashing the television, they don't make good choices. And they probably don't make good choices with that bat towards other things. I don't know, like people. So it put in more context in here of these people are kind of off the hinge, or at least we've seen him off the hinge for sure. How does this now play to the jury of was this self-defense? I mean, clearly she wasn't an immediate danger at that time, but when you put battered spouse syndrome in there and you understand how that works, how abuse works, it does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, one thing my dad, Jim Faddis, always said, you know, we can always, you know, think about who might win, but that's why they play the game, because when you actually go to trial and you actually hear both sides, you start to get a more richer, deeper understanding of the dynamic between these two people. Like you said, usually self-defense requires some imminent threat. But when you're running a battered spouse syndrome aspect of self-defense, the imminency requirement is maybe relaxed a little bit, meaning that even if the person isn't threatening you like right there in that moment, they presented threats over the course of time that have caused you to be in reasonable fear of imminent bodily harm. That's the defense Sarah's running.
I would think that once you're in that situation, you have the abusive boyfriend zipped in a suitcase, can't get at you, and you've sat there taunting him for an hour or more. There's allegations that maybe she even kind of used the baseball bat at the suitcase too, trying to prevent him from getting out. But let's just take what we have seen on camera, the taunting. This is what you get for abusing me. This is what you get for that. And I'm paraphrasing. I would think you might be in imminent danger if you let the monster out of the bag.
You know, it's certainly a fair point. Certainly something the Boone camp is going to try to convince the jury of. You know, but there's also just the callous aspect of sort of how she's acting during that. And so that kind of cuts against someone who's like, oh, really scared for their lives and you know, worried something bad's going to happen when you're actively taunting someone. Doesn't mean that something bad wouldn't happen if she let him out, but it sort of it just cuts against her ability to argue that.
I agree. I mean, when it comes to situations like this, you're dealing with unhealthy people. You're dealing with people who are not making great decisions. There clearly was a pattern of abuse here, and one could say maybe went both ways as well. But this is a couple that could sit there and watch a movie and drink and have fun and enjoy each other's company, which it sounded like was going on prior to the suitcase entering the equation. And then you can very quickly veer off into some sort of violence, which it sounds like happened prior to this night having taken place. Or you can veer off into nothing happening. It seems kind of just random, if you will, or wherever the emotions may take you. So I can understand her fear, but it seems like she was always living in some sort of a constant fear. So then it comes down to personal responsibility. Why is this person in your life? You know, and then we get into abuse and the cycle of it and being trapped and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, we all do have free will. We can make choices to remove ourselves from situations, as difficult as that may be, where the way out is not necessarily murdering someone.
Yeah, totally. And in Colorado, where I practice, the jury can, in self-defense cases, often consider whether there were reasonable alternatives available to the defendant and whether he or she availed him or herself of those alternatives. So could she have called 911? Could she have, like, you know, I guess unzipped it a little so more oxygen could get in and then left? I don't know. I think there are possible alternatives that could have been considered without letting this man torturously die within this suitcase and then claiming it was self-defense.
He did torturously die. I completely agree with that. The claim of self-defense, I don't know how well that plays. I mean, I get the battered spouse syndrome. I'm just wondering if this should honestly has been more of a claim of I'm an idiot. I think like an 11-year-old. Because she seems to. I mean, she's asking the judge for Pop-Tarts, chips, and 5 mints, and all sorts of weird shit. Like it's like something an 11-year-old would be concerned of having to spend long days in the courtroom and getting your snacks. It's not something a real healthy thinking adult would have run through their mind. That just tells me how much she thinks like a child, which also lends me to think, yeah, I mean, a child could easily put a friend in a suitcase and think nothing of it either. And it's a brutal, horrible death. But I don't know that she sat there thinking, I want to have him die a brutal, horrible death either. Then she just wanted to taunt this asshole for abusing her.
Yes, you know, she is a peculiar bird. I've watched some of the proceedings and the trial, and, you know, sometimes she's very, very articulate, and she seems like she's understanding the legal process reasonably well, making requests that make sense. Other times, it seems like she's totally aloof and detached and saying things that everyone is, like, you know, raising their eyebrows saying, what are you talking about? And so, yeah, perhaps that would have been something for her to bring up and just say that, you know, this is a horrible accident and she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know that he was about to die, even though, you know, despite his statements. There are other courses she could have considered during the trial. Maybe we'll see some of that. I don't know.
Maybe. It is fascinating. It's one where we're watching, again, I feel like we're watching like an injured animal to a certain extent, where it's like, this person's not right. They're not, I mean, I think she's competent to stand trial, but not right. There's just something not right about this. And I hope justice is served, whatever that may be. I don't think I know the answer to. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about.
It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant.
But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.